Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Lord God, I just ask that you anoint us today to get this message out. I believe it's going to be very beneficial in many ways to help the brethren out there in their faith. And I thank you for it, Father. Well, I want to talk about today is our renewed imagination. You know, because we are created in the image of God, we operate in the same manner, even if we don't realize or understand how this works. For example, it's not a sin to have thoughts that are unclean or even contrary to Scripture. Thoughts not the problem. Engaging those thoughts and meditating on them will cause them to drop into your heart, where they become sinful attitudes that lead to sinful behavior. Your mind is the major battleground when it comes to engaging the enemy. And he'll batter you with thoughts all day long. Some of us have never had victories at all because we hadn't understood this. Some of us have had a few victories, but we get weary in well-doing and fighting the good fight of faith. You know, the fight of faith is not always an outward demonstration. It's an inward understanding and a tenacious standing on the Word. And that's why Paul admonishes us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians 1:17-19 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of His might. Well, what are the eyes of your understanding? Paul is not just talking about understanding as in knowledge and thinking. There are eyes associated with knowledge and thinking. However, we're not addressing this particular theme. There are two basic Greek words that deal with the word mind, M-I-N-D, in the New Testament. And that first word is dianoia, D-I-A-N-O-Y-A, and that means imagination. For example, in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, dianoia. Well, you could paraphrase that scripture to read like this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your imagination. Well, Lord, how do I love the Lord with my imagination? It's like when you were in love with somebody. You remember with your wife how you were in love with her? And it's natural to continually, if not constantly, see them in your imagination, what they looked like at that special moment when the light hit them just so. The look of joy or sorrow on their face during that certain moment. And when we learn to see Him, the Lord, in our mind's eyes, we are fulfilling Scripture. I want to try a little exercise right here. I want you to close your eyes and picture yourself on a sandy beach with a cold glass of iced tea in your hand as you're looking at that crystal clear blue ocean with the warm rays of the sun gently tanning you to a golden brown. Or for those who prefer the beautiful majestic mountains, picture yourself in a beautiful mountain meadow with spring flowers all around you just coming up. And there's an eagle up there, soaring on the air currents, and a soft, gentle breeze on your face. Now, I know you can envision that. If so, you're seeing that place in your imagination. And I want you to know that our imaginations are a powerful gift. The world often thinks such things are created by the enemy, but the devil has never created or invented anything. He's a liar, and he's a deceiver from the beginning. He takes facts and twists them to fit his purposes, and then presents it as the truth. You know, God gave us this mind. Jesus himself said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your dianoia, your imagination." The New Dictionary of Theology, Volume 1, says when the Greek word dianoia is used in relation to the heart, it always means imagination. Vine's Dictionary says dianoia is a faculty renewed by the Holy Spirit called imagination. So our imagination must be renewed or sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Then is when it will become a weapon in your arsenal that can be used continually. The world says whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. That's a statement that's based on the Word of God. And the second word for mind is dialogosimo, and it means literally to reckon thoroughly, to deliberate by reflection. It speaks of a logical reasoning mind. Luke speaks about Mary meeting Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, that's her logical reasoning mind, what manner of salutation this should be. Is the logical reasoning mind something to be considered contrary to God or wrong? Absolutely not. God gave it to you. Is the imagination wrong? No. God gave it to you. What happens is the problem arises when we don't sanctify our imaginations or our logical reasoning minds. The majority of Christians allow their minds to wander anywhere it wants at any time. And as followers of Christ, we need to cast down any thought or imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When we do not do so, we hamper and hinder ourselves in our spiritual growth and our ability to walk in the realms of revelation and intimacy available to us through the cross. Acts 18:4 refers to Paul saying this, and he reasoned, dialogosimo, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, it's dialogosimo, in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. There are times when we must use logic and reason to reach our audience. Paul was continually going before the leadership. He was persuading and convincing them that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And there's nothing wrong with using what God gave you. However, if we don't yield our ability to reason with logic to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we're in danger of misconstruing or misunderstanding the truth revealed only through the Spirit of Revelation. Our logical reasoning mind must be sanctified. The devil wants you to misunderstand the use and power of your sanctified imagination. He does not want you to gain insight and revelation concerning the eyes of your understanding or imagination. And he does not want the eyes of your dianoia, imagination, to be enlightened. And if you properly understand and use the potential of this gift, it will release you to a level of awareness that leaves very little room for the enemy and his time-worn schemes to be effective in your life any longer. There is a connection between the part of your mind that controls images, pictures, and dreams and your heart. It could be said that to doubt with the heart literally means to doubt with your imagination. And in order for an individual to doubt with the heart, visual images are used. when thoughts are used in conjunction with the heart, it always means using the imagination. God's word says that you heal. And if you see yourself as sick, you see it in your imagination. If you see yourself healed, it's in your imagination that you see this. This imagination thing that we have is a powerful tool that God can use to help us. And we can express this particular concept, imagination, in another way. The heart makes contact with the spirit realm, and the mouth releases the power of that realm, or the imagination makes contact with the realm of the spirit. And out of the abundance of the heart, you speak into agreement or disagreement with what you're seeing. And most of the Western church had been concerned with the logical reasoning mind rather than the imagination. The eyes of our imagination should be enlightened, but they hadn't been. The Greek word for enlightened in Ephesians 1:18 is photismo. It is the same word we derive the word photograph from, and it's spelled F-O-T-I-T-S-M-O. As the eyes of our understanding or imagination is enlightened, we're made to see. In other words, as the eyes of our understanding or imagination begin to receive snapshots of the kingdom of God, we are made to see. And we begin this process by setting our affections on the things that are above. I sanctify my imagination and frame pictures of the kingdom of God in my imagination. And as we do this, something supernatural begins to occur. There is a biblical principle that states that what you focus on, you will connect with. And when connection comes, activation takes place. And when we harness the power of a sanctified imagination, properly framing pictures of the kingdom in our mind, and we continue to practice and focus on this, we connect and activation takes place. Well, what's the activation that takes place? Well, you move from framing your own pictures to actually seeing into the realm of the Spirit with your eyes wide open. Let's paraphrase what Paul was praying in Ephesians 1:18. According to the understanding we have of the Greek words, that the eyes of your imagination might receive pictures of the kingdom of heaven, so that you might know your destiny. Now the bridge between the soul and the spirit is the bridge of a sanctified imagination, because Jesus considered imagination to be reality. Or you could say it this way, the bridge between the soul and the spirit, between the natural and the supernatural, is a sanctified imagination. And if you begin to apply this principle of sanctifying your thought life and framing pictures of the kingdom of God in your imaginations, something begins to happen. We begin to learn a new language that becomes uniquely our language with God. And remember this, visions are a language. A picture paints 1,000 words. And the more we apply this principle, the more fluent we become. And the more fluent we become, the quicker the activation. We see another example here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For that Hebrew word used for meditate is the word H-A-G-A, Haga, which means to murmur, to ponder, imagine, meditate, mutter, or roar. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall ponder and imagine therein day and night. Or you shall properly frame pictures of the kingdom day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Imagine properly, frame pictures of these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. That's a whole new context now. The word meditate, remember, is dianoia, to imagine or frame pictures in your imagination. Give yourself wholly to this, and then you will prosper. Because of this resistance from those that you might share this with, the logical reasoning part of your brain will kick in and tell you it was just your imagination and it wasn't right. That battle could rage within you and cause such turmoil until you see the room filled with angels. All the while, not understanding this truth, I am sharing you with you that it is okay to frame pictures with my imagination. And you know what? That messenger of Satan will jump up on your shoulder and he'll whisper in your ear saying, if you're trying to imagine it, it ain't going to happen. And it's real easy to buy into that lie, because the empirical evidence consistently agreed with what the enemy would speak. So most will quit imagining what would take place for fear of ruining any chance of seeing those things come to pass. Listen, folks, don't allow that devil to steal from you one of the strategic tools that God has given us. And then the Lord will begin to teach you the truth about the power of a sanctified imagination. The word is accurate when it states, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, in Hosea 4 and 6. When you have people come for healing, this is an example. When you have people come for healing, the first thing we ought to ask them is this: how are you going to know you are healed? You want them to frame a picture. And some of them might say, by faith, which is excellent. But then you ask if they have any pain in their body. And when they say yes, then repeat the question until they reply this. When you ask them, how will you know that you're healed? And then they'll say, the pain will leave me. What you want them to do is to frame a picture in their mind of that pain or that infirmity is gone and them walking free. And once they see their healing in their imagination, then pray. Seldom will you ever see someone who has learned to see themselves healed leaving in the same condition as before we prayed. And you'll learn this through revelation and by practice. I'm still learning it. And if you can properly frame a picture in your sanctified imagination, if you can see this word of God as a reality, you'll walk in it. God gave us an imagination to use for His glory. Every invention ever created in this world was first conceived in the imagination of somebody. And it's natural to utilize this faculty in our normal everyday life. And what we have to do is begin to use this same gift in our approach to the supernatural. And you'll bridge the gap between the natural and the supernatural. And that's an easy door. Genesis 11 and 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this is they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's a powerful scripture. If you just read it and look at it, meditate it, it means if I can imagine it, there's nothing impossible to me. And although true for every human being, remember, we're talking about the redeemed and a sanctified imagination. Another interesting scripture is found in John chapter 8 and verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Both the words see and saw are the Greek word idio, E-D-I-O, which means to be aware, be aware, behold, and look on. Is it biblically possible to see the future? Well, of course it is. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and would show us things to come in John chapter 16, verse 13. Not only is it possible to see in the future, John on the Isle of Patmos was caught away in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and was taken into the future and shown what would happen at the end of the age. How did Moses survive those 40 years in the wilderness? Hebrews 11, 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word seeing is the Hebrew word H-O-R-A-O, which means to stare at, to discern clearly, either physically or mentally. Moses survived 40 years on the backside of the desert because he developed an ability to see God face to face, both physically and mentally. It was the relationship that Moses developed with the Lord during his time that empowered him to endure. Well, how did this relationship start and develop to such an extent that he was seeing the Lord face to face? Well, I don't really know, but I believe it begins with an all-consuming passion that he had for him. And by building a bridge between the natural and the supernatural of a sanctified imagination. How do you see something that's invisible? Well, you begin with your imagination. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That word mind in Hebrew is yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. It speaks of the thing framed in your imagination. God will keep the one in perfect peace whose imagination is fixed on him. From that place of focus, trust comes. Now, in light of this insight, some other scriptures begin to take on a new significance. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are upon the earth. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. How do we do this? Well, there are times when the Lord sovereignly initiates this process. He speaks, convicts, and woos us. We dream dreams, or he removes the veil, and we instantly see. Thank God that occasionally he does break into our lives. I wish he'd do it a whole lot more often. But more realistically, however, it is a process that you and I have to persevere in with passion that we may connect and walk in our inheritance. When the children of Israel came to the promised land, it wasn't the end of their journey. It was the beginning of a whole new aspect of their walk with God. There was a battle looming before them in order for them to secure the promised land. And this becomes a picture for those of us who have accepted Christ and entered into our promised land. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And sanctification is a process. And securing our promised land is a process. Entering into the fullness of our inheritance means we've got to put some effort in and do something. It's not just an instant utopia. Jesus made a way for us to come before the throne of God by setting our heart and imagination on the Lord. When Peter walked on the water, the first thing he had to do was get out the boat, didn't he? Wasn't it? Once he was out of the boat, he was committed. And the first thing we have to do is step out of the realm of religion that we have operated in for so long and be committed and don't go back. Because the adventure of God is right before you. Some people don't connect imagination. And in fact, some people don't see anything positive about imagination in the Bible. How many of you know that when man fell, his imagination fell? And the Lord wants to renew our imagination to be able to see with their mind's eyes things before they come to pass. And if you'll look, you will discover it's a real key to connecting your mind and your heart with the promises of God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Well, obviously God expected more from man. He expected the imaginations and of the thoughts of his heart to fulfill his will, and yet that wasn't happening. This is what God has for us. We see the things before they happen in our mind because God's already told us in his word. God destroyed man because his imaginations brought his own destruction. And at the same time that God was preparing to save an elect group of people in the ark. And what God told Noah was this: "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Genesis chapter 6 and 14. And so on and on. He gave all the description of how he wanted that ark built. And that was put into Noah's mind. And the word of the Lord gave Noah the picture in his mind of what had to be built in order to save the saints in what was then the latter days. And of course, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. In Matthew 24 and 37, the Lord through his word puts these things into our mind. We know what God is building because of his promises and his words. And we know the eye of the mind is this imagination, which is the drawing board of man's creation. We were created in the image of God, and as such, we were created to be his vessels through whom he creates. And he does that by programming our mind with his word. We are transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 and 2. And when man is left alone to his own devices, his imagination corrupts. The pictures in his mind that he uses to create with corrupt. And we can see that principle in Genesis 11 and 1. And the whole world was of one language and of one speech. You know, I was thinking how that they were created in the image of God. And man has certain powers that he has lost through the fall. Can you imagine the great wisdom that Adam had in order to name all the animals and to rule over God's creation? He wasn't no caveman, was he? But through the fall, especially on our end of the fall, man has lost a lot of this natural gift that God had given him. But we were created in the image of God, and this means that we had some of God's power within our own soul. Now, what the devil really wants to do is harness the power of all humanity to use it for his own evil intentions. And of course, this was a good example of that here in Genesis chapter 11. Man had been left to his own devices. And it says in Genesis 11 and 4, "And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." We, he said, are going to build us a tower to heaven. We are going to build us a name, our own nature, character, and authority, not the name of Jesus. You know, man left to his own devices falls into corruption. And the most powerful thing that God has given him, his imagination that can be used by his faith, is corrupted. And in fact, I don't think God disagreed with that, because down in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, "And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have all one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will be withholding from them which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. So here we are once again seeing that through the problems that are coming upon the world, men are about to build another Bible. We'll build us a name. We don't want to be scattered. We don't want to be at war with one another. We'll all come together in peace and on and on and on. And yet God's not going to permit it. He's going to cause division and scatter them again. And they are not going to see eye to eye or speak the same speech anymore. That's destruction. So God speaks a little of what he has for us. And if you'll notice, he speaks of remembering what he has to say three times here in Isaiah 46 and 8. He said, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. Remember, remember, remember the former things of old. Now, we're reading this today, and we think about the former things of old that are spoken in our covenant. We go back to the time of Jesus and the apostles when things were spoken. He says the former things of old. As a matter of fact, we go back to the time of the former rain when the promises of our covenant were given. In the former rain, God would say to us, remember, remember what I said, remember. Let this come into your mind again, remember. Anybody that's a transgressor, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So God does speak the end from the beginning, like he spoke to Noah. He described for him this ark, and God sees everything. And he knows everyone from the beginning, even those who have never been born and never lived on the earth. Matthew 7:23 said, I never knew you. From the foundation of the world, he chose us to be in Christ, who was the Savior from the foundation of the world. Also in Ephesians 1:4-5, God knows you even though you never even existed. He knew you in his imagination. And he saw the end at the beginning. And anyone who sets their mind to build something does that. Noah had an idea in his imagination what was being built. Listen, we are God's sons through whom he's going to do what he's going to do in these end time days. And so it's real important that we renew our mind with the word of God so that our imagination can be used by God to build what he's going to build. And if you think about all the motion pictures out there, the movie shows that people have made that came to pass many years after they did them, it was an imagination in the mind of somebody who put that motion movie together, that motion picture together. What God speaks into existence, he knows first in his imagination, and he exercises faith in that. We are created in his image, and we do the same thing. Isaiah 48:4-6 says, because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, therefore I have declared it to thee from of old. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image. There's an image, an imagination, right there. And my molten image hath commanded them. Well, it sounds kind of like the Tower of Babel, don't it? What was in their mind as lost men, not having guidance or input from the Word of God like Noah had? What it did, it just led them to destruction, didn't it? And the same's going to happen in our day. Except for those elect that are putting the word of God into their mind and hearts. Isaiah 48:6 says, thou hast heard it, behold all this, and you will not. You shall not, or I'm sorry, behold all this, and ye, will ye not declare it? Interesting, he says in verse 5, that I have declared it to thee from of old. And now he says, will you not declare it? Isn't that our job as servants of the living God to hearken unto his word and to let them sit in our mind, to meditate upon them, to imagine them as true? And if you can't imagine something is true, can you actually exercise faith that it's true? Because by faith we, in Romans 4:17, call the things that are not as though they were. All we have to do is think on it. And if you can't even imagine this thing coming true, what kind of faith could you have? The connection between your faith and your mind is this imagination. We are to imagine them as having come true. Isaiah 48:6-7 says this. I have showed thee the new things from this time, even hidden things which thou hast not known. They are created now and not from of old. He spoke them then, but they are created and coming to pass now. And it's the same with us. Lamentations 3:37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass then when the Lord commandeth it not? Doesn't that mean that we need to be in agreement with him? Amos 3:3 says, shall two walk together except they have agreed? We have to come into agreement with him, sowing his word into our hearts and minds, thinking on these things, picturing them so that God can bring them to pass. And obviously it needs to be our whole being that's in agreement with the word of God. Not only our feet, our mouth, and faith, but the connection between our faith and our actions is our imagination. Lamentations 3:38 says, out of the mouth of the Most High cometh there not evil and good. On the earth, God uses men to speak his words. And we are his mouth. We are his hands right here on earth. And he acts through his body. Now, I want you to imagine this. Look in Colossians 1:22-23. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He said, right now it's done. You are reconciled and holy and without blemish. If you continue in the faith. Folks, we have to stay grounded in the faith and continue to believe what God said from the very beginning. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope that it waver not. But sometimes because we don't meditate on these things as though they are done, we don't give that imagination. The connection between our faith and our actions. He says here is reconciled. That is the word apokatalasso. I hope I pronounced that right. And it means to exchange completely. What was exchanged completely in the body of Christ when he died on the cross? The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Now listen, can you stop and imagine that when you are born again, you received of his Spirit, and that when you accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you, that as he is, even so are we in this world? 1 John 4:17. Well, praise be to God. Can you imagine that Jesus lives in you? How can you express faith to walk as he walked? How can you express faith to do greater works, he said, unless you can imagine in your heart that this thing is true? And you say, I believe it's true. I hear people say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Folks, that's a pretty neat trick. And I don't even know that I can do that, but I'm looking for it. And I'm steadily attempting to do that and diligently asking God to put it all in me. But you know, that's just words until we can imagine that God has actually done this and think and meditate on this. I want you to stop for a minute and think, Jesus lives in you. The same Jesus who did the mighty miracles and spoke the word of God, the Jesus that wasn't sick or under any curse. It says reconciliation has been made. An exchange has been made, meaning that he became accursed for us in Galatians 3:13 so that we might have Abraham's blessings. And can you imagine that this exchange is now being done? Imagine it when you are being tempted to believe in your sickness. Imagine it when you're tempted to believe that the devil has power over you. Imagine it when you are tempted to believe that your sin is stronger than Christ is, and imagine it concerning all of the curse of sin and death that has come upon this world. Imagine that Jesus lives in you. And you know what Jesus said? I lay down my life that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. Because that same Jesus, that very same Jesus, lives in you. And in the days to come, I believe that because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, people are going to begin to believe this, because when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. Glory be to God. That's our day that he's talking about. When God's people are by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit to not only imagine these things or so, but to exercise faith and to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, this world is going to be shaken. The sons of God are going to be manifested. More importantly, the Son of God is going to be manifested in his people who believe and who are partaking of this latter rain. Galatians 2:20 is very important to imagine that we don't live anymore. We don't live. Jesus Christ now lives in us. And begin to meditate on that and believe it. And you're going to see the power of God working in your life. When you imagine, you see pictures in your mind, just imagine using those pictures that this gift that God has given to you is true and has happened in your life. And you can see an imagination was given to us over here in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all with unveiled face, those who are unveiled, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. That's an imagination, because you can't see this in a physical mirror. If you see Christ in a physical mirror, you got a problem. I know there are people like that who can do that. But we see the image in our mind. We imagine that God's word is true. There ain't nothing wrong with imagining. There's people out there that think it's cultic. Anything that God does, the devil likes to copy, don't he? But if you can't imagine that it is true, you can't really believe it. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed. That's the power of imagination. Into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And if you can imagine that this reconciliation has been accomplished, the exchange is total and complete, and that you don't live anymore, he lives in you. We have to practice that. Also in verse 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, if you are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. It's the image of God that you're coming into as sons of God. The creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God, it says in Romans 8 and 19. And that's going to happen in these days. I know that people think that that's a cultic idea, but it's not. It's the clear written word of God, glory to be to God. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them, it says. So those who are blinded by the devil, whether they be religious folks or whether they claim to be born again, or whether they are just lost sinners in the world, unless they can accept, walk in, and act out the fact that this reconciliation has been made, how could they possibly be believing the gospel? Your imagination is important. Begin to exercise it. And just like every other part of your being, we struggle against the curse. We struggle against the fall of man. The Lord has given us a renewed imagination when we read the word. We see things that are not so in the physical. And the only way they can be so, first, is in our imagination. And after that, God's going to use it to bring it to pass. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The Lord wants to use us. And in order to do that, two need to walk together in agreement, it says in Amos 3:3. We are coming into agreement with what the Lord says. We walk by faith. We're calling the things that are not as though they were in Romans 4:17. Then verse 6 says, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And now we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We're looking into the face of Jesus Christ, and we see ourselves as gone, and Christ taking our place. Reconciliation, which is the complete exchange that has happened already. We accept it as already done. He already bore our curse like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness. God gave them something to exercise their imagination in. They'd look at that serpent on the pole and see that the curse was on that serpent on the pole, and suddenly he would be healed of that snake bite. And that represents the curse upon us in this world. And as they got their eyes off the problem, got their eyes on the Savior, because Jesus became a curse for us, he became sin for us, God put our sin and curse upon him. And as they began to see that in their imagination, they got healed and they got delivered, just like it is today. Mark 11:12. And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. That was the word of God going forth out of Jesus Christ. Just as God desires in these days that we, as the body of Jesus Christ, would walk in his steps, and God would be able to manifest his faith and his works and wonders through us. And his disciples heard it, but they didn't see it, did they? Then verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and he entered into the temple and began to cast out them that sold. He spent some time in Jerusalem. And every evening he went forth out of the city, and as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree wither away from the roots. You know, those roots probably began to die the very second that Jesus spoke it. But what would have been seen would have been beneath the earth, and they came by the next day and see that the fig tree was totally withered, and they were awed at the power of God. He saw it, he spoke it, they heard him speak it, but they didn't see it. And then they saw it. Some people say everything that Jesus did happened automatically. Well, I know that we're coming to a time when the latter rain is going to be, it's going to manifest a whole lot of things miraculously, very quickly. And there ain't no doubt in my mind, but right now, many of us are having to walk by faith to see these things. But I can tell you that the missing link is the imagination. Men just can't even imagine that these things are so. But we have to call the things that are not as though they were. So we need to be in cooperation with God in our whole being. Now, verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Rabbi, behold the fig tree which thou cursest withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith comes to pass, he shall have it. Not doubt in his heart. What is part of your heart and mind? But your imagination. Some people think that it's all mechanical. You just believe it and you speak it, but can you truly believe it unless you imagine it? We're not just imagining anything. Lamentations 3:37 says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? We're not just imagining anything. We are imagining what God says is so. How he could use us, how he could use our faith, unless we believe it with all of our heart. And part of your heart, folks, is your imagination. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believing that you receive them can be greatly helped by imagining them as already done. And we need to practice that. And it's easy to give any kind of deliverance from the curse to people who are believing. That's easy. Listen, I'm not saying it happens instantly. Sometimes we do endure a trial of our faith, and it's good that we learn to endure a trial of our faith. Jesus said this. He said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved," Matthew 10:22. And don't think that because you don't get an instantaneous answer that God hadn't heard. That's what faith is all about, the trial of your faith being more precious than gold, 1 Peter 1:7. And it's real important that we learn not to give in to the thoughts of the flesh, the imagination of the fallen man, or mind, I should say. Instead, we can renew our minds. We can see a picture in our minds of the thing we have asked God of. He said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them." How are you going to believe that you have received these things that you have prayed for? By seeing them in your mind, it's already finished. Some people have this idea that you're offending God by using your imagination. Because men use their imagination, man fell, they were in sin, their mind was corrupt, not renewed with the word of God, they were believing and doing what they wanted to do. Man created a nuclear bomb. Is that the perfect will of God? Uh-uh, not for a vessel of honor. Men's thoughts and imaginations is only evil continuously. All the lost man can really do is choose which sin he wants to do. But everything he does is sin and corruption. And I know it's the permissive will of God. I know that he will use that to bring judgment upon mankind. The devil is very wise and intelligent. He has wisdom and knowledge that we don't have, but it's all corrupted. And in our simplicity, we just act like children. And we believe the word of God, renewing our mind, beginning to speak it, act it, think it, meditate on it, imagine it is already done. Glory to God. Each victory builds on the previous one. You just keep on going from glory to glory. 1 Corinthians 3:18, "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." Listen, we're growing in our faith. We come together. We meet with the brethren. And we all share our experiences. And some of us might even think, never thought about exercising faith for that. And so we do. Listen, this imagination thing is real powerful. And if we catch on to it, listen, I don't put anything past God, and I don't put him in a box either. Just remember that the Lord can do anything and use you to bring about any and all things that he wants accomplished anywhere in this world. Well, I'm out of time, folks. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.